everybody.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day. Let's all get ready for church. I just want to welcome everybody here and also those watching live at First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Let's all stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer this evening. God is great. Always. Yes, He is. All the time. Yes, He is. Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for making the opportunity, making it available for us to be able to come to your house tonight and worship you in this house of the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for all those that are here. Lord, we ask you just to continue. Dear Lord, let your spirit flow. What powerful day we've had with the messages this morning and with the message going forth. Lord, again, now as we open up our service, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive what you have for us. And, dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, now we're going to lift up each and every one that had a prayer request, so spoken and unspoken. Lord, you see those hands that were raised. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our heart. And, Lord, we're asking you to touch each and every situation. Dear Lord, there are those that are sick. Lord, those that are in need. Dear Lord, there are those in assisted living, nursing homes. Dear Lord, there are those in the hospitals right now as we lift them up and pray for them. Those that are going in for procedures or tests. And, dear Lord, we know that you're mightier than anyone, than anything else there is, dear Lord. So we're asking for you to heal, to mend, to protect, dear Lord, and to provide for those in need. Lord, again, we praise your holy name. And, dear Lord, we thank you again. Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them. Lord, each and every ministry that goes forth from this congregation, dear Lord, we ask for you to touch and to continue to bless. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 345. Where could I go? I have the choir behind us. They were practicing. We got in here. Praise the Lord. Everyone, we Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. Don't want to remind everybody about Vacation Bible School. It's 2 weeks away, I think we figured out this weekend. You're going to start that Sunday evening, the kickoff, the 10th, and run through the 13th. And Miss Karen's got a lot prepared for us and is in organizing it very well. But if anyone would still like to help or volunteer, if you would just see her. And also, men, Band of Brothers will be Tuesday night at 7 p.m. out in the Children's Church. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Luke, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. E flat. Bow's not mine. Praise the Lord. The battle's not mine. You've let me see.
I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Y'all know this song. Y'all help me sing this song.
I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Sing that chorus again.
I wanted to be. Without him, I could do nothing. And without him, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. And without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. That lovely name, Jesus. Jesus tonight with all your heart. My. What a precious Savior that we have. Amen. And I have to realize ever so often I can't do anything without the Lord. But also I know that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. If you have your Bibles for just a little while tonight, go to the book of St. Matthew. In the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, I just want to speak to us tonight about the goodness of the Lord Jesus. Precious relationship that I hope that we don't take for granted, that we understand and know how remarkable the mission of Christ was here on this earth. And not only that, but as he went away and sent back the Comforter in his name to help us through times of problems and trials, and sometimes just to know that we needed that Comforter. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 14, let's begin with verse number 22. Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained," or directed, "his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful. God, and mindful of your many blessings and what a special and precious relationship we are afforded to have with you, Lord. Abiding within our soul, leading us and guiding us and directing us. Help us to never forget that, Lord, and to always praise you. Father, we're thankful for those who gathered here tonight. And Father, we pray, God, that you would just rain down that heavenly manna. God, feed our souls tonight, that you would have us to hear. Father, I humbly ask you to anoint these lips of clay. Use this vessel, Lord, as you see fit. God, that we might hear your word tonight, obey your word, and be directed by your word. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. If I could tonight, I want to speak just a little bit about the closeness of Jesus. And if I had a message, topic, or title, it would be to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus at all times. Here we have the account of Jesus walking on the water to the disciples. There's several things in this particular chapter that are very amazing, I think, and it's almost like a full story transpiring in this particular chapter. Now, the book of Matthew, this is the way that he wrote the accounts of Jesus. And I want you to understand that in three different locations, Christ was seen in these three different locations. And they're very different locations. Neither of the three are similar. In fact, they are almost entirely different situations and different locales in the Bible. First of all, let's go back to the very beginning of the chapter, and we find that the Lord Jesus has heard the account of John the Baptist being killed. You know the story, how that John the Baptist was put in prison, and because he had aggravated or upset Herodias, was that her name? Anyway, she called or had her daughter dance, and then she called for the head of John the Baptist to be brought in and showed to the king. And we find that his disciples have come and buried him. Now they brought the news to Jesus. And, you know, there was a closeness there, not only a relationship, cousins, but there was a spiritual connection. And I'm sure that Christ, the man Christ, was very burdened about this situation. And we find here that Jesus went and got in a boat and went to a solitary place. So the Bible describes it as a desert place. And I believe he fully meant to go and just spend some time between him and God and just get some comfort from the terrible and sad news that he had just received that his brother John, or actually his brother in Christ, but had been killed and beheaded, and probably wanted to spend some quiet time and in meditation and just prayer and actually seek some consolation from God. But as he was able to get to this desert place, and we're talking about a desert, we're talking about a place that basically was void of vegetation, kind of cold and barren, and he approached it from the sea. He was able to get in a boat, and he went to the sea and found this place where he could be by himself and maybe seek some remorse from the terrible and tragic news that he had just heard. But the multitude found out that Jesus had gone to a solitary place. The Bible tells us that the multitude went overland to find Jesus. They didn't go in a boat. They didn't get across the sea, but they knew the vicinity that he was, and the multitude began to find their way over the land and found the place where Jesus was. And Jesus immediately forgot about his situation, forgot about him seeking comfort, and he began to have compassion and on the children that were there, those people that were gathered, because most of them were coming to be touched by Jesus, to be healed by Jesus, or to be delivered by the Lord. And I'm saying that sometimes when we find ourselves in maybe a self-pity type situation, and I'm not really using the words correctly, maybe it's just a time of reflection, maybe it's just a time of saying, you know, Lord, I just need some time. I need to kind of refocus. I need to re-energize. I need to refresh. Has anybody ever been in a situation like that? The job piles up. This piles up. Situations arise, and all of a sudden you're finding, Lord, I just need a quiet place. And so Jesus was there, but his quiet place was interrupted by a multitude of people. Jesus immediately began to have compassion on them, and he began to touch and to heal and to deliver. At those men, there was 5,000 men, the Bible says, plus women and children. So it began to be the end of the day. The disciples said, we're going to need to send them away because there's nothing here for them to eat. There's absolutely nothing. And Jesus said, why? Send them away. Let them eat here. The disciples paraphrasing now said, we don't have anything but two loaves and five fish. Give it right. Is it two loaves and five small fishes? But what is that among so many? And you know the story, how that Jesus broke the bread and the fishes and he gave it to the disciples. And the disciples in turn fed the 5,000 plus women and children. But that was a solitary place where a feast was given. There was nothing, I want you to understand, there was no strawberries, there was nothing on the trees, there was nothing, anything to eat. But the Lord Jesus took what little sustenance was there, and he blessed those folks in a desert place. Now, immediately after he had healed them and delivered them and fed them, and the Bible says what? They were able to gather 12 baskets of fragments after that he had fed them. So my point is, even in a solitary place, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, even in a spiritual desert, we can be fed. Even when it looks like there's no spiritual food to be gotten anywhere. Looks like there's nothing. You know, sometimes we get to that point and say, Lord, I'm wondering if you're even aware that I'm alive. Have you ever been like that? Lord, I know you're mighty big in your heaven, and I know you're blessing and you're anointing and you're delivering, but Lord, don't forget about me. Remember me in my time of need. Maybe you're in that dry spell. Maybe you're in that solitary place. But if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, and that's what the multitude did. They had to seek him. They had to find him. And after they had sought and found him, they were blessed. So now we find that Jesus tells the disciples, in fact, he directs them, y'all go ahead and get in the boat and begin to launch out and go to the other side. And I'm going to stay here. And there he stayed there. And the Bible says he dismissed the multitude in this desert place. After they'd been blessed, after they'd been fed, he dismissed them and sent them home. He went up into a mountain to pray. Found a mountain. Now, whether this was the plan of the Lord or whether it's just a coincidental thing that happened, the disciples went on up out in the lake, and the Bible says they went many furlongs. I want you to understand, they were not just off the shore. I looked it up. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile, or approximately 220 yards, or basically, in reality, about a little over the length of 2 football fields, and many could be as many as 3, 4, 5. I don't know how many it was, but I would imagine the boat was probably out of sight, and Jesus was nowhere to be found. And there arose a very boisterous storm, the Bible says, in so much that some of the seasoned disciples who were fishermen by trade were fearful of their life. But Jesus still was nowhere to be found. Understand, keeping our eyes on Jesus. But Jesus couldn't be seen. Probably some of them was thinking, will we ever see him again? Will we ever see our family again? Are we going to be able to be saved from this terrible storm? Or are we all going to die out here in this lake? So what, you know, and what they were looking at, they were not looking at Jesus. They were looking at the waves. They were looking at the waves hitting the side of the boat and the terrible things that were going on around them, the boisterous storm and all. And Jesus was praying up in the mountain. So when Jesus gets through praying, somewhere around 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., the very next morning, what does the song say? He may not come when you want him, but he's always there on time. He's always there on his time. Amen. So I'm just saying that sometimes we are looking for Jesus to intercede in our situation. We're looking for Jesus to come on the scene, and he's not ready yet, but he is coming as long as we keep our eyes on him by faith, not looking at the storm, not looking at the desert, not looking that we don't have anything to eat, not looking that we're poor, almost at a point of death, but looking that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is going to show up, and he's going to come on the scene, and God's going to make a way. So it may not be when we think it's going to be, but all of a sudden they see a figure walking on the sea. Now this is where it's very interesting, because many times you might think that the boat was just a little bit out from the shore, and those that are procrastinators and those that are doubters say, well, probably he was just walking in ankle-deep water or knee-deep water, and the disciple just said that, you know, he's walking on the water. But he was many furlongs out into the sea. Imagine at least 3, maybe 4 football field, maybe more than that. The football field being 100 yards, a furlong being approximately 220 yards, multiply that time 3 or 4, and that boat is probably out of sight. But here comes Jesus showing up, not at the midnight hour, but way past the midnight hour, but still showing up. And here he comes, and the disciples are fearful. Not only they're fearful of the storm, but then they look out and they see this figure, and they don't think that it's Jesus. They think that it's a spirit. And it even makes them more fearful. And Jesus calms them. Aren't you glad that even in your most excruciating pain, even in your most terrible thoughts, in your fearful moments, just the spoken the word of the Lord Jesus Christ can calm the storms and can calm the storm that is within us. But still, you must have your eyes on Jesus and not the storm. You must keep your eyes on Jesus and not the desert. You must keep your eyes on Jesus and not the problem, not the trial, not the situation that arises in our life. Because when we take our eyes off of Jesus, that's when our faith, we begin to doubt. But as long as our spiritual eyes on Jesus, know that the Lord's going to show up. And when he shows up, he is going to make a way. So then Peter says, Lord, if that be you, then let me come to you. And Jesus said, come on. Come on, do it. So Peter steps out of the boat, and the Bible tells us he's walking on water. So there's two miracles. Jesus walking on the water, and then Peter says, I want to do that too. I want to come to you, Lord. And Jesus says, come on. And he walks on the water, and he's making progress until what? He takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he begins to look at the waves. He begins to look at the storm, and what happens? Doubt comes. I can't do this. This is impossible. It was possible as long as his eyes was on Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we'll keep our eyes on Jesus and we will amaze ourselves that we're able to accomplish this. We're able to do this. We're able to be blessed. And all of a sudden we realize, you know, I don't even know how this is possible. And the first thing you know, we're not looking at Jesus anymore. We're looking at the problem. We're looking at the waves. We're looking at the storm that is around us. And then Jesus reaches down and he saves him and he gets back into the boat. And when he gets back into the boat, something miraculous happens. The storm ceases. It just settles down. Well, there's something to be said when Jesus is in the boat. There's something to be said when Jesus comes into your situation, into your house, into your workplace, into your problem, into your trial. Whatever. When we invite him in, things will calm down. Amen. Way out there in the middle of that lake, thinking that they was going to die. But soon as Jesus steps into the boat, everything calms down. Then the Bible tells us that they arrive to the other side. Somebody say the other side. The other side. Now, the other side is the land or the lake of Gennesaret. And we often associate that with Legion. I mean, he's heard of Legion. And that was a story too. But in this particular case, they come out and they step out on the shore sometime in the early morning, I guess, because Jesus showed up somewhere between 3 and 6. So when they get there, it's already noised abroad that Jesus is coming. Now, I don't know how the word traveled, but it did. Maybe some of the multitude that just had been fed the day before, maybe they were able to tell the people on the other side that Jesus is coming to your shore, because the Bible tells us that when they stepped out on the shore, they were greeted by a multitude of people seeking Jesus. Not only seeking him, but they brought the lame, they brought the blind, they brought those that needed healing and touching. And Jesus stepped out on the shore and he began to minister to those people. Now, I told you earlier that Jesus showed up in three distinct, different locations. First, he was in the desert. Then he was in the storm. Same Jesus, different locations, same power, just different obstacles. Amen? But nothing is impossible. The God of the desert is still God in the storm. He's in your problem. He's still God. There's nothing impossible for the Lord. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too dangerous. Nothing can overwhelm him, because he is associated with so many different localities and able to heal, deliver, and do things in all of them. But history tells us the land or the shore of Gennesaret was far cry different than the desert. In fact, it was lush, fertile land, well watered. In fact, it was a great place for produce to be grown. And the Bible tells us, or history tells us, that the priest in the area often referred to it as God's paradise, because it was so peaceful and so tranquil. But I want to tell you the similarity. People needed Jesus in the desert. People needed Jesus in the storm. People needed Jesus in the peaceful, tranquil seashore that they just stepped out on. You see, problems don't care what location you're in. Problems don't care if it's convenient for you. They don't care. They just arise. You know, there used to be a commercial. I think it was some insurance commercial or something. And basically what it was somebody was calling and said, you know, next Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be there. You're going to have a massive heart attack. Y'all remember that commercial? Or next Tuesday, you're going to have a horrific accident or something like that. In other words, to be prepared. You know, and you know, we don't know when problems are going to rise. We don't know when we're going to be in the midst of a desert and seems like nothing is around us. Seems like no friends are there. Seems like we can't get a prayer answered. Seems like we can't feel the Spirit of God like we want to. But you know, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, he'll show up in the desert. And then sometimes we're in a fearful boat of life, and it's rocking and it's reeling, and the waves are coming over the board, over and into the boat, and it's sloshing around, and we think that we're never going to get out of this alive. And as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, he's going to show up. But you know, sometimes in the most peaceful, tranquil moments, sometimes the devil will come and he'll try to tempt you, he'll try to discourage you. But I'm so thankful that Jesus can show up even in the most peaceful times, even in the most tranquil locations, as long as we'll keep our eyes on Jesus. Said all that to say this: if you look hard enough, and if you look by faith, you'll see Jesus in every situation that you'll ever face in life. You may not see him physically, but you'll feel his Spirit. You'll feel his anointing. And by the way, if you've got a relationship with Jesus, and if you're living by faith, you don't have to see him physically. How many knows you can feel his presence? Who's ever been in a place where you just felt the presence of God in such a powerful way, and you just lifted your hands and, thank you, Lord, I needed that so much. Again, it's like the
the little boy who was flying the kite. And I know you've heard me tell this time and time again, but I think it's so appropriate. I love this story. And the kite is just going way up in the sky, up in the clouds. And if he's done like I did when I was a little boy, one of the little balls of twine wasn't enough. You kept a spare. And then when that ball of twine had just reached its limit, you would hold it and you would tie off another ball and just see how high that was going. Am I preaching to any boys tonight? And that kite would just fly, and boy, you're just excited. And sooner or later, you couldn't even see it. Well, the little boy had died. He'd already tied off that second ball of twine, and it was up there. And this man come by and said, "Son, what you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite, sir." And the man looks up in the sky, and he said, "Well, I don't see it. How do you know it's there?" He said, "Oh, I know it's there." He said, "But how do you know it's there if you can't see it?" He said, "Every once in a while, I feel a little tug. Hey, man, I feel a little tug. I don't have to see Jesus to know that I can keep my eyes on him, because I know that even in the desert, even in the midst of the raging storm, and even in tranquil situations, as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, I know that he's going to see me through no matter what we face. I don't worry about tomorrow, because I know who holds tomorrow. And Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And whatever we face, he's going to be there for us." God bless you. I love you so much. You're just precious to me, Sister Penny and myself, and we appreciate y'all. We call you our children, and that's exactly what you are, and we love you so very much. And I just wanted to encourage you tonight. Amen. I know we're small in number, but we're great and mighty in power because Jesus Christ is in the midst. Amen. So what you may be in one of those locations. You may be in a spiritual desert. You may be in a spiritual storm. Or you may just be kind of relaxing in a tranquil, peaceful thing, but can't really see the answers that you need answered. But as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, amen, and your foot on the rock, and your mind's made up, God's going to see you through. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Would you stand? Appreciate you so much. I know that we're entering July. July is going to be a very active month for First Pentecostal Church. I know that we will be experiencing Vacation Bible School. I know y'all already met this morning, and plans are being made. And also, that is our homecoming date, and that's going to be a wonderful time as well. So a lot of things going on, and June is all but gone. And you know what that means? That means half of the year is gone. So let's just plan to spend that rest of the year glorifying and praising God and just seeing God work in mighty, mighty ways. Amen. God bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This altar's open. You know that. If you have a need tonight, if you need prayer for your body, if you need prayer for a situation, if you just need to feel the comforting hand of God, this altar is open. And we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you tonight as they come. Amen. This altar is open. Please come, those of you, whatever's the situation, you elders, come and gather around. Let's pray for God's healing, God's delivering tonight. Jesus, when this life.
the friends I had were nowhere to be found. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus.
And the healing and the
the name of Jesus. Lord, that's right. He is so powerful. His word, the name above all names. Praise God. Love each and every one of you. Yes, sir.
Stay right here. Sister Huck, you know that she had to go to the emergency room twice, one by ambulance, and then she had to go back. And she called, and I met her there at the emergency room, her and Sister Sister Joyce Kidd was there.
Oh, Joyce.
And she just had us all laughing, had the doctor just rolling, because she was laying there, and she was trying to describe the pain and all that she's going through, and he would ask her certain questions. Oh, no, I don't have that. And he said, well, are you diabetic? No. I once was. God done took care of that. She just kept everything that he would mention. No, I don't have that. God's already healed me of that. And she was telling him what all kind of health foods that she takes and everything. So finally the doctor said, well, sounds like to me that you're going to put more trust in God than you are me, you know. So I just thought, and then she did get to go home. They did the heart test. They were just so sure he was. She had some type of heart complications, but everything came back all right. And she said, I knew it was going to be all right anyway. So she is a praying saint of God, very faithful. Amen. And I just wanted to pass that on to you. I wish she could be here with us, but she's just not strong enough right now. Maybe at one time she can be with us. But thank you for letting me share that. She'll probably testify when Jeff gets
here. Amen. Love to hear the testimonies of praise. And when you're telling the doctor, oh, no, God's got it. Amen. I don't have that anymore. I love that. And Sister Hux is special. And also, Brother Jose was asking for prayer this morning, too. He's having a procedure. I believe he said tomorrow, wasn't it, Brother Jim?
Tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. So let's keep him in our prayers, too. So, there's, you know, God is great, and He's powerful, and He knows all.
Yes.
But I believe by our faith and by unity, as we all gather together in prayer, and as I say, it's a song we sing, those prayer bells in heaven, we're going to ring them out for those in need. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. What a powerful day. What a wonderful day God's given us. From the services this morning to this evening, let's continue. You're all invited back Wednesday night. We'd love to have you in service with us. And let's all bow our head. We're just all just praying. We'll be dismissed with this prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, for the messages that were brought forth. Lord, may we stand on your word, dear Lord. May we have that faith, dear Lord, that you've given us all, dear Lord, that we can call on you in times of need and call out the name of Jesus. But dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, but also we want to thank you for all the answered prayers today, dear Lord. And we're standing on that word. And Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. One more time. Band of Brothers is Tuesday night at 7. Thank you.